You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are on the couch. Welcome, everybody. As you know, this is the place where you can get some personal insight, you know, suggestions and tips on problems you're having or anticipating happening. Like, why do some men, husbands, boyfriends, just all of a sudden up and want a divorce and leave after being with us for a while? Why didn't we see that as women or wives? And what did we do to cause him to leave? We think about that a lot, huh, when that happens. How can we survive that emotionally? Well, we're going to find out about that coming up today with my special guest, Vicki Stark. She's going to be calling in. We'll talk to her about that. Her book, of course, Runaway Husbands. Yeah. What? And also a bit later in the show, we're going to be talking to Wendy Aronson, author of Refeathering the Empty Nest. Great book, Wendy. You go, girl. She'll be talking about how we can learn to cope with all the emotional ups and downs and changes that come when our young adult children go off to college or go off to work or wherever. Yeah, you have a baby now. You have a little person in school. You have that kid in middle school or high school. And you're on him. Because they're pubescent. And then they hit 18, 19. They want to go to college and go away. So it's like, what's going on? What? Huh? What? And then we think about, what did I do? Am I a bad parent? What? Huh? So that's what we're talking about today. Also, I take your questions, as you always know, live on the air here on LA Talk Radio. Be happy to talk to you. And, of course, live if you want to call in. The number here is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. If you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can, of course, email me directly here at the station. Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle, at AOL. That's where we're at right here. So, as I mentioned at the top of the show, first off, I have licensed psychotherapist, educator, and she's done a whole lot more, which I won't go into right now, but I will later. She's the author of the book Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal. It's Vicki Stark. Vicki, it's always great to have you here.
Hi, Dr. Michelle. It is a thrill to be with you again.
Wow, you're so good at what you do. And I thank you so much for helping out so many women. And men, too, by the way.
Yeah, women and men, yeah. Right. I feel like since I've done all this work about women, about divorce, yeah. About wife abandonment syndrome, I have learned so much about men.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, and I feel like I've become I've become a male specialist,
and I need
to really understand men so I can help women understand men.
Well, there you go. And you've been a licensed psychotherapist and have your private practice and been so involved. In so many communities, and as a public speaker and media expert, that you know what's going on with men now. You know what's up, and your book again, Runaway Husbands, which I'd love to have you on to talk about sometime later in the month or whenever you're available, because
I would love that.
Cool. That's an amazing book for everybody, even if you haven't had someone who's sort of taken off in your life, ladies. It's a great sort of informational book as well, just to not to get your parents. paranoid. But, you know,
that we don't want to do.
There you go. Exactly. So what I want to do, though, is let listeners know about your upcoming retreat, which sounds amazing, happening on May 17th and 18th. It's called the Jump Up International Divorce Recovery Retreat. So can you share some of the details about that, Vicki?
Yeah, sure. And this is going to be a meeting of women from really literally all over the world. We have people coming from all four corners of the United States and Canada, and also from Europe. Mm. And we're all going to be converging in Montreal on that Saturday morning, May 17th, and have a two-day retreat working together to really be able to jumpstart our lives, you know, following separation or divorce.
Sure.
So the retreat is really for women, you know, at whatever stage. You know, last time I ran a retreat, there was one woman who attended whose husband had left 12 years before, and she was still working on recovery.
So,
yeah, but she was great by the end of the retreat. We pushed her over the finish line.
Good for you.
And so that, you know, whatever stage that a woman is at, you know, if people want to come, they want to join us in Montreal, that we can help them understand what happened to them and also start to get hope and a vision for their new reality, their new future as a single woman.
Oh, that's great. So, Vicki, what are some of the, just a taste, some of the things that women can learn at your retreat besides what you just mentioned?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that sometimes, you know, following a divorce, particularly after a long-term marriage, that some women get stuck.
Yes.
And the divorce becomes sort of like the benchmark. It becomes something that they carry with them everywhere. And it's the defining characteristic of their lives.
Yeah.
And they have trouble being able to say, okay, yes, I suffered through, you know, I went through all the stages, and now I'm going to try to leave that behind me.
Yes.
So that women really have to learn to understand what are the belief systems, what's the ways of thinking that keep them stuck, you know, all of those negative and erroneous beliefs that they have, that, oh, no one would ever want a 55-year-old woman. Or, you know, I've had my one great love, I'm never going to love again. Or, you know, there is no life after what happened to me. You know, all these beliefs that are very limiting, self-limiting beliefs.
Yes, exactly. And, of course, it's also, you know, you're a psychotherapist and you can give them insight about their self-esteem as well. I know you work on that a lot. And, you know, it wasn't about you. What is that our famous saying or what many times, huh, Vicki?
Yeah. I mean, all, you know, very often. But you know what I think one of the most healing things is that, you know, it's one thing to go to therapy and sit for an hour with your therapist and, you know, maybe gripe and complain a little bit about how miserable you are.
Yeah.
But when you get together in a room with, you know, 30, 40, 50 women, a certain kind of energy sort of wells up. It's like it's like a tide of positiveness.
Yes.
And by the end of the retreat, everyone is swept along in this tide where they can take, you know, 100 steps forward, not just one step forward, because everyone, we've made friends, we've all understood each other, we felt understood.
Mm-hmm.
And by being together in the group, you know, that there's this tremendous healing power that a group has, and a group of women helping each other, filled with love.
Yes.
And also filled with fun, Michelle, because if I'm running the group, we're going to be having some fun, too.
You got that right. You are a fun gal. You really are. And also, you know, in your book, you have so much humor. You know, you keep it light. I mean, it's not all heavy in the Runaway Husbands, the Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal book. You're funny. And I love the way that you look at things and the positive spin you put on, yes, this happened and let's go from here. But, you know, I mean, not denying the sadness and the feelings and all of the things that we need to recover from. But still, it's going to be fun. So let's just maybe give folks information on how they can find out more about it. And then I have a couple more questions for you here.
Sure. Okay. So if you're interested, if somebody's interested, you can go to www.runawayhusbands.com, runawayhusbands.com, and click on retreat. And all the information is there on the retreat page of the Runaway Husband site. And, you know, one of the other things that's really fun is that Montreal is one of the most beautiful cities in North America, and Montreal in May is really breathtaking. So on the Monday, it's not part of the retreat, but it's the bonus day, I'm going to be taking everybody on a sightseeing tour around Montreal, and we're going to have tons of fun.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful
city. So that's going to be an additional day.
Oh, that's neat. And that way, if you go to the, you know, retreat, as we call it, you'll get to know a lot of these folks, too, that you'll be spending several days with. Because, and you know, it's what a great way to sort of break the ice between people and just go out and enjoy the city and see some of the beauty. It is beautiful up there. It really is. It's not that far,
too.
It is
beautiful.
You know, some people go, Montreal, oh my gosh. Really, check out the prices. Not that bad to get up to Montreal.
Yeah, well, for Americans, it's 10% cheaper. See? You know, whatever it is that we spend, your dollar is 10% stronger. So
that's right.
It's not a problem.
That's right. You guys are on the East Coast, too. So, yeah, we do, you know, over here. But it's not bad at all, either, from your side if of the country, if folks really just check it out a little bit. But I'm telling you, it will be a real shot in the arm for you women if you have, you know, experienced the loss of a husband or long-term relationship, right? And it's just going to help you out a lot. You know, we were talking about some of the women that get stuck. You just shared information about the woman. You said, like, 13 years. Ah, poor thing.
Yeah.
Why is it, Vicki, that some women become stuck? You call it the victim quicksand, which I love, for the rest of their lives, or really a long period, following, you know, an unwanted divorce or a husband splitting. While other women can use it as, like, a launching pad that, you know, kind of gets them into a new phase. Why
Well, you know, everyone has a different personality, and you know, and some people are more isolated, and they've really made the marriage the central point of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And for other women, you know, they have other things. They might have a job that they like, you know, a circle of friends, an interest, a sport. I don't know. You know, they have lots of fun with their kids or their grandchildren.
Yeah.
And they are able to let go, and sort of, you know, that Buddhist idea of life, you know, that we just have to take what we're given and accept. You know, accept what life has given us and celebrate our lives and just, you know, and just be able to let go and not hang on too tight.
Exactly.
And to recognize that no matter what stage of life that you're at, there's always more life to be lived. And so that anyone who says, "Nah, all my happiness is behind me," I don't buy that. You know, I'm not going to buy that statement.
Mm-hmm.
You can have happiness ahead of you, but you have to go out and get it. You have to choose it. You know, you have to go for it.
Exactly. And you can let sort of what someone has done to you, shockingly left you and not talked about it, or, you know, given you little hints, but you're just hoping for so long that he won't leave or whatever. And, you know, finally you get the empowerment to say, you know what, wait a minute, I'm going to stop this negative thinking and this negative talk and this, and spin it sometimes to maybe, just maybe, this person did me a favor to find out who I am. Who am I?
Yeah, and we see that a lot. You know, I mean, you're so right. I mean, that was a great word you used, empowerment, because we see that a lot, that sometimes from women who, you know, have been spending their whole life trying to please somebody else, and suddenly that person is gone. And then they have to figure out, wait a minute, who am I?
Exactly.
And what do I like? And what do I want to do? And where do I want to go on vacation? And suddenly they meet themselves for the first time in their lives.
Yes.
And they can really appreciate who they are. And, you know, we're not voting for divorce, but you do get a certain amount of freedom.
Yes. No, exactly.
To be able to be the, you know, sort of to be able to be the director of your own script.
Exactly. And you teach people how to do that, and you will be teaching them in your, I like to say teach. I mean, come on, it's a retreat. You're a teacher.
Sure,
you're a psychotherapist.
Sure.
You've been doing this for a long time. So,
that's
but
it.
You'll be teaching them how to do all these things and sort of get over the hump. And you're right, Vicki, about it's wonderful. And I always encourage people to come to a psychotherapist or a psychologist or whoever is going to help them. But really, you know, you are right. And I'm certainly not... I'm not trying to get business for myself here, but I think that being in a retreat with a group of other people who are like thinking and have, you know, shared a similar experience, wow, you feel all of a sudden like you're not alone.
Yeah, and that is so huge.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing worse than feeling like you're the only, sad soul in the world whose husband turned his back on you and walked away.
Yes.
Sort of out of the blue. And then you find out, well, wait a minute, it happened to that one, it happened to this one, and, those are pretty interesting women, and, they've done a lot of interesting things, and it's not because I'm such a loser, it's just something else was going on with this guy in his midlife that he, he needed to explore some other path, and he just left me behind in the road.
Yeah.
But, when the women get together, then they find out, there is life after George.
I love that. Hey, Vicki, that's your next book, Life After George. True. I mean, that's really true. It is, really important that a lot of people learn that. And listen, guys, just want to, edit here. We're not getting down on you men. We love you guys. There's a lot of good guys. There's
Believe
a lot
me.
Of wonderful, loving, awesome men out there who,
for sure.
You and I know, you and I have worked with, you and I have met in our personal and professional lives. And
that's for sure.
We're not men bashing. We love you all. I don't want nasty emails. Please.
Not
I'm
at
just
all.
Saying that right now. No, but yeah. I mean, there are certain situations. And Vicki, you mentioned midlife, the midlife crisis, as we call it. And I've seen that in my practice. But it's not only that midlife crisis, it's also a young adult male crisis. Ooh, maybe I made the wrong decision, or I have a new job and I'm meeting all these other people, and ooh, I get to travel, and wow, I'm flattered by all of
right.
this attention, and
exactly,
maybe I could do better, and whatever.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the other nice thing about the retreat. Like, we have women there in their early 30s, all the way up.
Yeah.
And once we get together, age doesn't really matter. We're all in this boat together, or we're all rowing in the same direction. And so it's very funny. Sometimes the young ones get to be the real leaders of the group because they're filled with energy and ideas, and so that everyone is welcome.
Absolutely. And that's really a cool thing too, because I mean, you learn from people who have had more experience in their life, and you also learn that energy and hopefulness from a younger person who can say, you go, girl.
That's it.
You can do this.
I love that.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
But you can do this. You get up and you can do this. And it's okay. And it's possibly explore what you learned from this. What did you learn from this experience? What'd you learn about yourself? Maybe
right.
How could you?
And
do
really,
it?
When we come right down to it, isn't that true?
Boy, is
I always think about Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in prison
didn't
come out a twisted and bitter man.
No, he did not.
He came out in spite of all of the suffering that he went through. He came out, with an idea towards reconciliation, and so that even though when life throws us hard things, the thing that you alluded to before, Michelle, is how these hard things in life are really given to us so that we can challenge ourselves to grow.
Yes. You
and not
said.
Become the bitter, twisted, angry, resentful people that are no fun to be around.
That's right. And just don't feel happy and think their lives are doomed. So,
yes.
That's wonderful.
Yep.
So once again, the Jump Up International Divorce Recovery Retreat, May 17th, 18th, right at the Omni Hotel in Montreal, Quebec.
And it's, runawayhusbands.com.
Beautiful, runawayhusbands.com. Vicki, you're awesome. I love your book. I love your other books.
And thank you so much, Michelle, and thank you so much for inviting me on your terrific and wonderful show.
Great to have you always, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, take care.
All right, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
All righty, once again, Vicki Stark. She's the author of the book Runaway Husbands. That's all I can say. The title tells it all. It's a good book, though. And again, we're not men bashing. We love you guys. I do love you guys out there. You're wonderful. And I thank you so much for, writing me and being so awesome, because we also talk about guys' stuff, too, and guys' problems. And we're always welcome to do that. All right. By the way, if you want to call in, or if you have a question, or if you have any comment, you can email me here, docmichelle@aol.com. docmichelle, two L's, at AOL. .com. Or, of course, what you can do is you can call live on the air. Come on. Go for it. Get your voice on the air. We'd love to hear you. 323-203-0815. All right. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to be talking about the empty nest. What? What's going on with that? Or also known as the shift. The shift may be coming if you have kids. it's inevitable. Maybe. Or maybe if you have little babies, the shift may come too. Think about it. I'll get back to you in just a bit with my special guest right here on LA Talk Radio on the couch with Dr. Michelle. When I get my feet back on the ground, my friends all laughed at me. They said you never change. I wonder if they're laughing now. No reason why I can't do anything. No reason why I can't be what I wanna be. No reason why. Looking at the past, I see I've come. It's Dr. Michelle back again here on LA Talk Radio, and we have another great special guest coming up. By the way, again, if you want to call in live, 323-203-0815 is the number. And, of course, as I always say, you can email me, docmichelle@aol.com. Here on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to internet talk radio station. That's us. And, of course, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, where we help you out with all of your stuff. Now, as I talked about at the beginning of the show, and according to my next guest, there was a recent study. Approximately 25 million parents living in America who are classified as empty nesters. Y'all have heard that, haven't you? And, of course, that's kind of a thing. According to my guest, empty nest syndrome is not a clinical diagnosis. It's sort of like we all prepare for this horrible thing. And it's a phenomenon. It's where parents experience a feeling of sadness and loss when the last child leaves for home or college or travel or work or, you know, I'm going to go on a trip around the world in a backpack. What? Well, we've got Wendy Aronson, the author of this fabulous book, up on the air with us. Wendy, how are you doing today?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, and it's great to have you.
Well, it's nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I sure enjoyed your book. It's called Go ahead.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's called Refeathering the Empty Nest, Life After the Children Leave. And it's Wendy Aronson's latest. Guys, I'm telling you, you've got to pick this up. Even if you have children who are young. This will do it. This will help you out. This will psychologically get you ready for the shift, as we call it. We go through these things. Of course we do. Wendy, we have these little babies and we're joyed with the birth of our little children and guiding and loving them throughout the years. And we just want them to become mentally and physically healthy adults. And of course we always encourage our children to become independent, you know, but this experience of letting go can be quite painful. So, you know, it's really difficult to do sometimes. So I'd love to find out from you and in your book, which really helps a lot of people, how do we cope with these changes as parents? I mean, how do we do this?
Well, unfortunately, there's no quick recipe. I think, like you aptly said, it is a process, and these changes are something actually from the day they're born to the time that they leave is part of that process. Actually, somebody I interviewed said she burst into tears when she picked up her son from the hospital after she had him bring him home, and the husband looked at her and said, "Well, what are you crying for?" She says, "One day he's going to college."
Oh my God.
That's the good news, bad news. How do we prepare? I think, as I speak about in the book, there are three stages that people go through: the anticipation stage, the launching stage, and the resolution stage.
Yep.
And the anticipation stage would be the way that I conceptualize preparing.
Yes.
And that is the stage where children begin to become more independent, such as getting part-time jobs, summer jobs, learning how to drive, dating. They're kind of beginning to spread their wings, and you're getting a little taste of what life is going to be like. And then launching is the actual launching or helping them settle into their next stage, which could be, as you say, college, also a job, military, any of it, backpacking around the country or around Europe if they're lucky enough. Mm-hmm. And the last stage would be the resolution stage, and that's when we have readjusted to life and the new landscape that has been created.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch, Dr. Michelle here, and my special guest is licensed psychotherapist Wendy Aronson. She's the author of her latest book entitled Refeathering the Empty Nest, Life After the Children Leave, and along, by the way, with her private practice in Greenwich, Connecticut for over 25 years. Wendy has developed and facilitated the Learning Differences Network for the Junior League of Greenwich in conjunction with Greenwich Hospital. That is, you know, you've done so much more work, I know, too. But that's just the tip of the iceberg with you and your experience. So, guys, if you would like to call in and ask Wendy a question, she'd love to hear from you. 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. And, of course, you can email me, docmichelle@AOL. We talked about the stages, but I just want to throw in here, and it's something that's always bothered me, Wendy, is you talk about that empty nest syndrome, and your intent is to kind of stay away from using that phrase.
I really do stay away from it, because if you go back into Mayo Clinic, there really is no syndrome. It's not in the diagnostic and statistics manual that you and I know of. And it really doesn't have to be a syndrome. And I stay away from it because it is so negative. Mm-hmm. And I see the nest as not empty, but evolving. And I think that's the really important concept. And with any evolution, there are challenges, there are really wonderful things that happen, there are difficult things that happen, and everything in between.
Yeah, it's so true. And we just have to sort of like see how it unfolds. Your book really does a good job of really explaining these things as well, too, and what to expect. It's true. You talk about some of the normal range of responses that parents have to this shift, such as anger and depression and anxiety. And the thing that really was interesting to me, and that maybe this is because I'm a helicopter parent. I hate to say it. I'm hovering.
It's true,
Wendy. But why is anxiety the most common response? See, I would have depression. I mean, just it. Oh, my God. I try not to lay too much guilt on him. But why is anxiety the most common response that parents have about their young adults making that shift?
Well, I think it's because of the unknown. Uh-huh. I think there is so much unknown at this stage. You are, you know, your job description of 18 plus years has changed.
Yep.
Whether you're a stay-at-home parent or whether you're a working parent, regardless, the focus, all it. It's going to change.
Yeah.
And with change, sometimes there's discomfort and fear and anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
And we also don't know how our young adults are going to do when they're on their own. Are they going to stumble and fall? Are things going to happen that we don't have control over or can help them with?
Yeah.
So we have a particular challenge of one kind of parenting or learning to parent in a different way. And conversely, we also have to, we have an opportunity to reinvent ourselves and our narrative for going forward. So sometimes anxiety, again, you know, is evoked from the not knowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and we were talking about your phases, that the typical stages that we go through during the shift. And in one of the phases, you talk about reminiscing about our parenting skills. I mean, right? It's like after, you talk about the Kubler-Ross, you know, sort of correlation there. But I mean, there's that stage we go through that is, oh my gosh, after a loss, which, I mean, we could say it's not a real loss, but I mean, it's, you know, we really want to assess what could I have done better? Mm-hmm. Right? So can you talk Absolutely. A little bit about some of the kind of thoughts that parents have when they go through that reminiscing stage?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the reminiscing stage, I see it as really almost coming to peace with your parenting up until that point. Because, you know, once you're a parent, you're always a parent. So, you know, we're never done. But I will say, coming to peace with that, meaning, gee, I wish I would have been more flexible about this or firmer about this or more involved in this and that. And, you know, it's reassessing, but it's also a time where we really come to peace with our imperfections mm-hmm. and our successes, as well as areas that we wished we would have been different or improved upon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. We are different. In this generation than our parents, of course. A lot of changes have been made. And you talk about the millennials. Those are the kids mm-hmm. born between 1981 and, you know, the 2000s, being a lot closer to their parents than the previous generations. And what I hear all the time from parents who come in to see me is, they're so spoiled. But, you know, they're coddled. Right? By the helicopter parents like myself. But, you know, there have been changes because we are much more informed. And there's a lot more material written about how to parent, right?
You bet. These days, you know. You bet. We are more informed. And we're also, I think, in a way more invested. Mm. You know, if you went to some one of your children's soccer games 40 years ago, if there was one, you'd probably only see mothers there.
Yep.
Whereas today you'll see mothers and fathers in suits coming home from work, or, you know, they are so front and center. Mm-hmm. And I see us as parents so much more front and center for good and bad. You know, you brought up about the helicopter parent mm-hmm. and call yourself one, but who knows whether you are or not. But, you know, the helicopter parent I see is one who kind of hovers and does things for their children.
Yeah.
I wanted to think about things differently and mm-hmm. conceptualize that differently.
Yes.
And that's how I came up with precision parenting.
Yes.
Because the precision parent is one that's thoughtful and mindful and helpful. Hopefully, mm-hmm. as they get older, we can use, you know, be Socratic with them,
mm-hmm.
and that we don't do things for them, we do things with them.
Yeah.
And so the precision parent is an informed parent, and this parent takes on parenting as if they took on their first career or their major in college.
Ah, so there's the precision parenting, which is the ideal, possibly, and the helicopter parent. And what are some of the other parenting styles that you talk about, Wendy?
Well, those are really the two, and I also say that they're fluid because you could be. I mean, one doesn't preclude the other. In the ideal world, we're precision parents, but we're all sometimes so hover and be helicopter parents when perhaps, you know, at different times and for different needs. And every child brings to you a different set of circumstances that you have to parent and be flexible in your parenting.
Boy, you do. You really do. And, you know, again, we have a lot more books to read and information to gather on the internet about being a good parent and how to, you know, help children along and positively encourage them and that kind of thing. You know, there's a lot more positive reinforcement going on than sometimes our parents had.
That's true. And we also learn in terms of parenting mm-hmm. that being good to ourselves and taking care of ourselves and developing ourselves as individuals also make us a better parent, as well as a better spouse or in a, you know, if we have a love relationship, you know, we're a better partner. We're more, we're fuller. You know, if our life is like a patchwork pillow, we have a lot of patches, not just one big one that says children on it. That, you know, because life beyond when they need us less and less, hopefully we find that balance of other things that we can be fulfilled with.
Exactly. And by the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Wendy Aronson. She's a licensed psychotherapist and the author of her latest book, Refeathering, I love that word, Refeathering the Empty Nest, Life After the Children Leave. And it's a terrific, great book to help you, you know, learn just about that particular subject. But it also helps you explore a lot about what's going on within you as a parent. You don't have to have necessarily young adults that are ready to leave the nest. I mean, you can start early and read about this to prepare yourself, such as the woman who saw her son born and started crying and saying he's going to be going off to college soon. What? God. Anyway, oh, you talk about cognitive therapy. We needed to cognitively kind of get back into the now, girl. You know, on that one.
That's right, or you'll be on the couch for a long time.
You got that right.
Either one, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Ooh. Now, you talk about, you know, we were just talking about couples, and it does affect the marriage. I mean, you talk about a lot of the changes that happen. So I'd like to talk about the positive changes, you know, and also some of the negative things that go on after kids leave.
Okay. Well, let's the obvious positive would be, of course, that you have more time for each other.
Yep.
You know, oftentimes patients who come in and see me, they talk about, you know, they will talk about their children and, you know, their children are everything about are their lives. Mm-hmm. And their marriages has really taken a back seat.
Yeah.
And it's this time that it's their challenge to put their marriage back in the front seat.
Yes. Yes.
And sometimes you've got to get to know your passenger again.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, if the focus has been so much on the children,
yeah,
then, you know, you really haven't nurtured that part of your marriage.
Sure.
as much as possible. And so this is an opportunity really to nurture it and reinvest and rediscover what you found in each other. If this is a blended family, which there are many of today, you know, this is an opportunity to rediscover or come together with a bucket list of things that you all have might wanted to do together but never had the opportunity, or things that you might want to do individually that even though you do them individually doesn't mean it won't enrich the couple, both of you, and make you both more interesting to each other.
Yes.
So there's a lot of opportunity. There's also an opportunity if your marriage, and most, I would say, marriages have their challenges. I would say all, actually, and ebbs and flows in their marriages and their relationships. If this is a really good opportunity to shore up areas in your marriage that might need shoring up, that haven't been looked at for time-wise, for emotional resources, financial resources, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be a really wonderful thing to do. Not always easy, but wonderful.
Yeah.
Conversely, you know, you say this could be a good time for marriage and not a good time.
Right.
And it's a time, again, about reevaluating yourself. Is this somebody we're all hopefully young enough and healthy enough to have many, many years ahead of us? Mm-hmm. And if your marriage and you're not feeling fulfilled and there are so many areas lacking in the foundation of your relationship, then it's time to really evaluate and look at, is this how I want to spend the next 30 plus years?
Right.
And as painful as it might be, it also is an opportunity to make that change.
Well, that's so true. It is an opportunity to make that change. And we do have to look at any kind of shift, as you call it, as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Shifts, major shifts in our lives. All of the kids are gone now, or if you have one child, they're gone. Oh, my gosh. Makes it tougher. And this is also a great book, not only for parents who are still intact, blended families, but also single parenting. This is a biggie.
Mm-hmm.
For single parenting men and women who have had to bring up their children all by themselves, it's not easy.
No, and that's a really good point that you bring up, because I have found since, you know, some of the single parents that I've worked with get particularly anxious. You asked why that was the, you know, front and center feeling.
Yeah.
Their lives have been just themselves and their children.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're out on, you know, they're out there much more and probably feeling much more vulnerable and feeling, you know, they don't have a partner to do this with. Mm-hmm. And by this, I mean moving beyond and refeathering the nest. Yeah. So that this can be particularly challenging for a single parent and also particularly exciting.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden they have this time to travel or date or pursue interests that they couldn't do before.
And yeah, I agree. It's so funny. I know in your practice you have couples who have come to you after the last child has, you know, left. And they just go, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to start. And I know you have helped them greatly with your communication skills. Let's start talking about other things now. Now that we don't have to worry that much, I mean, we're worried because they're out on their own now, but let's talk about other things that we used to talk about before the children, you know, that just get to know each other better and spend time loving each other more and just being more intimate, right?
Absolutely. And the other thing is we've changed.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't the same people 18 minus years ago that we were when we first got married.
Yep.
So there is time to get to know. I mean, we have 18 plus years of experiences to share with each other.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, and something else, too, there's so much divorce in this country, at least. And
yes.
I see folks, as I know you do, too, who have divorced and either the mother has had custody, not remarried, possibly so. Father has, you know, vice versa. But the situation is that both of the parents are not together, the biological parents, but this kid is leaving and going off somewhere. And they need to also learn how to work out, you know, their fears and their issues and their resolving within them this shift. So it's always good for parents who are not married anymore to come together at some time and talk about this, I think, as well, if they're talking, if they're speaking to each other.
Yeah, because it's kind of like it's a continuation of parenting, actually, because, again, as I talk about in the book, one has to learn to parent their children, their young adults, differently. Mm-hmm. So when your son, I am an empty nester, and we have our youngest is a sophomore in college, our eldest is out of college, and you know he would call me and say, "Oh, Mom, overslept today, missed math." And I'd have to bite my tongue and think, "Oh, you missed math? Did you mean?" You know, so I just kind of listened. And he says, "Well, Mom, what do you think?" And I was so tempted to get all anxious about what he missed. And I said, "You know what? Less important what I think. It's more important what do you think?"
Good for you.
And it stops them cold.
Yeah.
You know, not an easy thing to do. But that's an example of how to parent. I mean, and really, I don't do this all the time. I like to try. I don't succeed all the time is what I'd like to say. You know, but that's an example of how you could co-parent with your former spouse.
Yes. Yes.
Learning how to parent your young adults.
Yes.
Because it is a challenge.
Mm-hmm. And trying to be on the same page with that, you know, biological father or mother, you know, that is no longer in your life as much, you know, is a tough road. I hear that all the time. And I know you do, too. Not to give away some of the real goodies here in this book, because I do want you guys to check it out and read it and pick it up. What are some of the possibilities that you suggest that parents consider in preparation for, you know, when their last child makes their shift on their own?
Possibilities for themselves. Mm-hmm. Is, well, I think, you know, for the working parent, whether it's, as I said, a mother or a father, those possibilities are using their more available time to explore interests, which is very, very important. Mm-hmm. I have one patient who, you know, she and her spouse joined an a cappella group, which is wonderful. It's something that has really brought them together. Another one who took up golf together. Mm-hmm. So taking up an activity together is really, really wonderful, something that you can share and actually give birth to. Mm. You know, it is no coincidence that I wrote this book when I did, since my youngest was leaving at this point. Mm-hmm. So I, too, was giving birth to something.
Wow.
But we can have lots of births throughout life. It doesn't have to be our children.
Right.
It can be new careers. It can be new hobbies. It can be new relationships. So renewal and giving birth is something that is a real good focus for people to think, you know, in a positive way. Interests, mm-hmm. things that are fulfilling, things that make you more enriched,
yes,
is always so very helpful. And knowing that it's not like turning on and off a light switch, so that once they walk out the door, wiping, you know, putting your hands together and say, phew, I'm done.
Yeah.
You're not done.
Yes.
They're not cooked, and neither are you. You know, we're all evolving.
Exactly, we are. There's so many possibilities, and readers can find out a lot more. It's funny, you know, I was just talking to my sister the other day, Wendy, and she's experiencing this right now. She's actually on her own and by herself. But I said, mm-hmm. how are you dealing with it? What are you going to do? And she looked at me and she said, I'm leaving for Africa for 10 days on May 9th. And I went, what? She said, yeah, I'm going with some 6 friends to Africa. And I went, that's
wow.
great. And
good for her.
Yeah.
That's said, really great.
Well, what are you, you know, I mean.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. But when you talk about possibilities, I think there's also an area that would be that people have to look out for, mm-hmm. like warning signs. Mm-hmm. Not that this is a syndrome, but if you are feeling depressed, mm-hmm. feeling like you're having trouble getting up in the morning, going to sleep at night, feeling like you're having trouble concentrating, those kind of things would be a really good time to talk to a therapist about your difficulty when you're children leave. Would you
yes,
agree with that?
Totally. I sure would, Wendy. And that
yeah.
that's really important. And I know I do, you know personally that it is really important to have someone to talk with who is objective and has heard it all as you mm-hmm. and I have, you know, and can really give some good, you know, suggestions on how to slowly ease into their new life, make mm-hmm. that shift and be there just as a listening, caring person, you know, to help
also
them
with the marriage.
Yes.
If your marriage is, if you're feeling like the tensions are more front and center and the difficulties, whether they're, you know, emotional or physical or whatever it is, those difficulties become more apparent, then that too is a good time to speak with somebody like yourself or me or, you know, a clergy, somebody with an objective set of eyes and ears who can really help you navigate. And it again doesn't mean, and I really believe that this time of life has to be all gloom and doom.
No.
I think this is a really exciting time of life. And yeah. it's an opportunity.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. There are some parents, my neighbor up the street, I just passed him when I was heading out of the house early this morning. And, you know, he has 3 almost grown children, young daughter, 23, just finished college. She's an ace.
Wow.
She's amazing. And she's going into her master's program now. And he says, oh, I think she's going to go to the local university here in Southern California and still live at home. He goes, I can't wait for her to get the H out of the house. And I looked at him and I said, are you kidding me? Are you?
Right.
Come on. Come on.
Oh, well, you don't know what you got till it's gone, right?
But now then,
and you know, we also talk about in the book, the boomerang child.
Yes.
And that generation who comes back because they can't afford to live on their own or they can't afford to, you know, or they don't have a job because finding a job today is so very challenging.
Yeah.
And, you know, parents all of a sudden get in this great rhythm. They have the whole house to themselves. They've turned one of the children's rooms into an exercise room, another one into an office. And their children walk in expecting life as it was.
That's right.
Well, life as it was is not was.
That's right.
so it takes a lot of renegotiating, both for you and your spouse with your young adult returning, mm-hmm. as well as your young adult coming back home, because this is not a dorm, and coming and going might not fly with certain parents,
yeah.
and so rules and communication really are an important part of the boomerang generation that do come back in making this transition, and it is a temporary transition, let's hope.
Yeah.
as painless as possible, or seamless,
exactly,
shall I say.
Exactly. Real quick here, Wendy, we have a hard break coming up with CBS News affiliate, but how can listeners get your book and find out more about you?
Well, I have a website, Wendy Aronson, LCSW, and actually the link to my book is on the website, or you can go to Amazon.com and find my book.
Beautiful. And again, it's called Refeathering the Empty Nest, Life After the Children Leave. Wendy Aronson, you're an awesome guest. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. You are delightful to be interviewed by, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Keep in touch, and I look forward to hearing more from you in your next book as well.
Well, thank you so much, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Again, psychotherapist Wendy Aronson, Refeathering the Empty Nest. Good book for everybody if you have kids. I mean, everybody. Just, not, you know, you got the little ones. Not to worry so much yet, but anyway. All right, Dr. Michelle, and I always say before I go, do take care of yourself first because, you'll be a lot better for everyone else. That's the way it works in the world, don't you know? All right, up next week, we're going to be talking, oh boy, do I have a great relationship book for you. Oh boy, you're going to wake up and learn how to be a healthy person in a relationship. Next Friday at 11, right here on LA Talk Radio Pacific Time. Have a great day. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Flashing red.